And let's get a business update now with Charles Pellegrin, beginning with Elon Musk briefly losing his position as the world's richest person.
That's right, Oliver. It was brief, but it did happen on Wednesday. Tech billionaire Larry Ellison overtook Musk in the Bloomberg Billionaires Index after Oracle, the business software company he has a 41% stake in, saw its shares surge after releasing better-than-expected financial forecasts. At one point, those shares rose more than 40% before closing the session up almost 36% at over $328 a share. So that meant the 81-year-old shot up to the top of the rankings for a bit, with a net worth much larger than the entire GDP of Nigeria this year, for instance. But this Thursday, Musk, the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, took his place back at the top of the rankings, dominated by the men that control the largest U.S. tech firms, as you can see there, like Mark Zuckerberg at Meta in third place, Bezos at Amazon, or Larry Page, one of the founders at Google. Worth noting that Ellison and Musk have a close relationship. Some saying Ellison was a bit of a mentor to Musk, sitting on the board at Tesla for 4 years and providing financial assistance for Musk to buy Twitter in 2022. They also share similar politics.
So what was behind this sudden surge in Oracle's shares and in Ellison's net worth?
Well, an earnings call with analysts that left all of Wall Street slack-jawed, using words like blown away or momentous or in shock. The software company said it actually missed its earnings and revenue targets for the quarter, but it was its forecasts which really wowed everyone. Specifically on its cloud infrastructure business. Oracle said it had signed four multi-billion dollar contracts in that sector with three different customers this quarter, one of which with ChatGPT maker OpenAI to develop over 4 gigawatts of U.S. data center capacity. It's predicting that its cloud business will boom over the next 4 years, generating $18 billion in revenue this year and reaching, as you can see there, $144 billion in fiscal 2030. Nevertheless, they said there is some risk there, notably with the OpenAI deal. The startup might be a huge name and generating a lot of excitement, but it's not expected to generate any profit before 2029.
And Oracle's performance fueled a bit of a tech rally on the stock market.
Mm-hmm. We're even seeing this in Asia this Thursday, with the Nikkei in Japan notching a record high of over 44,300 points, though it stabilized a little bit there. As you can see, up currently 0.9%. Tech investments firm SoftBank jumping over 10%. What could also help is the perspective of an interest rate cut by the U.S. Federal Reserve on the back of concerning data with regards to the health of the U.S. economy.
And I'm moving on to some other news. Mexico is turning to protectionism as a result of U.S. tariffs.
Mm-hmm. President Claudia Sheinbaum defended a budget proposal on Wednesday which would impose tariffs on more than 1,400 products, many from Asian nations, this to boost national production. This is happening at a time when Mexico is under pressure from Washington to present a unified front against what Trump believes is the unfair trade practices of China. Take a listen to Claudia Sheinbaum.
What is Plan Mexico? To produce more in Mexico. To stop importing what can be produced here. So that's why we're increasing tariffs within the framework of the World Trade Organization to all countries with which we do not have a commercial treaty.
And let's end with Cuba's continued struggle with its energy grid.
Another blackout has plunged the whole of Cuba into darkness, the latest in a series that has been put down to the communist island's creaking infrastructure as it struggles to keep power plants fueled and running amid an enduring economic crisis. Luke Schrager reports.
Life continues in Havana as fed-up Cubans endure their fifth nationwide blackout on the island in a year.
I left work and I'm heading home to get everything organized. On social media, they say they are working on restoring power. So we have to wait because we have no other choice.
Even before the grid collapsed on Wednesday, there'd been daily outages across the island that could last for over 16 hours. The result of antiquated power stations 3 or 4 decades old that the country doesn't have the resources to modernize. What's more, Cuba is still weathering an economic and energy crisis that's only worsened in recent years due to US sanctions still in place on the communist island. Not only does Havana lack the money to renovate its obsolete oil-fired power plants, which provide 80% of its total electricity, it's also struggling to find the cash to pay for the fuel needed to run them after oil imports from Venezuela, Russia and Mexico all dropped.
Now it's the third day of the blackout here. Everybody's outside trying to stay cool and waiting. That is why the refrigerators are empty. If you buy something, you don't know if you'll be able to keep it. Last time, a lot of people lost their food.
Authorities said they were trying to restore function to the thermoelectric plant said to be at fault, with priority given to hospitals and food production centres.
And that's all we have time for now, but do stay with us for more news coming up on France 24.